But I'm just proud of my friends, Jim and Teresa Biggs, for who they are. I want to tell you about why you're finding something to give, because I want to give the Holy Spirit time to convict you to give more, because this is a worthy cause. When I first met the Biggs, I just started preaching on Wednesday nights. It was, I guess, nearly a decade ago. And I didn't know who they were, really, although they'd been members here about a decade. I really didn't know who these people were. And the instructions given to me by my father a decade ago was, don't change the midweek service, don't rename it. It wasn't 6:33 yet. He said, just go in and preach and be out by 7:30. And I thought, good Lord, how can we worship and be out in, 57 minutes? But I honored my pastor's wishes and my authority, and we did that for a couple years, and then I was allowed to kind of reinvent this thing at 6:33 and kind of change the flow of what we were doing. But those first 2 years, it was tough. There wasn't many people here. It was worse than our summer crowds, okay, during prime time. And I would preach on Wednesday, and I would be slobbering and snotting and crying about helping the least of these. And I was like, is anybody freaking listening to me in here? And I didn't let people know that I was frustrated, but I was a little frustrated. Like, is anybody listening? There was always this blonde lady right here on the front crying her eyes out, especially when I would start talking about helping the underprivileged and the least of these, Teresa Biggs. And she would always bring people. And I would thank God, because people would come and I'd have somebody to pray for, lead to Christ every Wednesday night. There might not have been 60 people here, but I was getting to lead somebody to Christ every week because somebody bought into what I was trying to say. And the funniest thing was one night, she brought people every Wednesday. And one night I was praying for Teresa and some people, and Teresa said, I feel like God's told me to move this person into my home. Now, my spirit didn't agree with that, and I ended up being right, by the way, Teresa. But Teresa's serious. You know, if you know Teresa, you know she's passionate about the things of God. She prays, and she loves people. And she's real serious, and I'm trying to be serious down there. And she's asking about moving this person into her home. And Jim Biggs is behind her going... And I knew from that moment on, I could be friends with that guy. Later, I would go pastor for a year in Atlanta at an inner city church on Memorial Drive that fed the homeless every week. And a few times during that lonely and year that I had there in Atlanta on the weekends, Jim and Teresa would come and surprise me and help me there at that church. And we just built a phenomenal friendship, but it was built on the kingdom. And it was built on the love that we shared for people that are hurting. And I love Teresa. I'm proud of Teresa. I support Teresa and Exodus Ministries. And I'm thankful because pastors preach, but people have to catch the vision. And the most exciting thing for any pastor is when someone catches the vision. And they were one of the first couples to ever catch my vision. And I've seen God bless them and bless them. And so before we receive this offering, the Bible says give honor where honor is due. Would you please stand on your feet and just honor Teresa Biggs and Exodus Ministry, our speaker tonight, for all that she's done to help us in the community. We love you. Love your family. Love you very much. And I appreciate you and what you mean to this church so much. Would you hold your seat up tonight if you need to go to the kiosk? As I said, we're going to give some of this to Exodus Ministries tonight and just believe God's going to multiply that. God has used Exodus too to help spotlight our church in the city and get people to look at us again. We've had people donate to our church because of what Exodus is doing. We've had people visit our church because of what Exodus is doing. We've had people ask about our church because of what Exodus is doing. It's a worthy ministry. We help with it financially, but there's so much more that we could do. Years ago, my mother started Project Esther once a year for homeless women. And she spoke years and years ago and said, one day I believe Abbas House will help the hurting every week. And friends, we are doing it now. We're doing it now, and we're going to do more by the grace of God.
I am so humbled and honored to be standing here tonight. I want to thank Pastor Ronnie and Kelly and the Phillips family, Pastor Ron and Paulette, and for your love and support for all these years. I thank you for believing in me and believing in the ministry of Exodus. And apart from you guys, apart from this church, I don't think there would be an Exodus. So I just want to say thank you to our church, to the church members, to our volunteers. And I want to ask if you have ever baked a cookie, served a lunch, been in the clothes closet, written a check, have done anything in any way that has blessed the ministry of Exodus, could you just raise your hand? I just want to see. Wow. Just keep your hands up for just a minute. Y'all look around. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to each of you for all that you do every week. It's week in and week out and is a labor of love. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to be here and to serve and just to share tonight what God has put on my heart. I want to thank Pastor Ronnie called me about 3 months ago, and he one evening and he said, Teresa, or Mama T, he calls me Mama T, he said, I believe the Lord would have me to have you speak on August, 18th, 8th, 2018, I don't know what day it is, but and at that time, I was like, oh, you know, immediately I just thought, oh, my goodness, that's a little overwhelming. But I knew in my spirit at that very moment that that was the Lord saying, it's time. It's time. I prepared you for a time such as this. And so I have learned over the years that I can't really argue with God, although I have tried many times to say no. He always wins, but I knew at that moment, I just said, I actually said to Pastor Ronnie, what's the matter? Could you not get anybody else? I think I did say that, but I knew better. That was not the case. So I knew he had heard from the Lord, and God began to prepare my heart and my spirit. The video that you just saw was amazing, and I just want to say thank you to Dana Harding. Harding Productions and Julie have been such a tremendous blessing to this ministry. They have gone above and beyond. Julie is actually working on our brand new website. It's going to be up any day. We were really hoping that it would be up by tonight for the launch, so I just want you to stay tuned for that. It will be coming out, so I just want to say thank you for that. And I have some Exodus board members here tonight, so thank you, family, friends, for all your support and being here and just cheering me on, because as most of you know, I am much more comfortable on 11th Street and in the woods, as you can see, and I don't have my shoes on tonight because for a very specific reason. Years ago, when I began to just minister in the Lord and call me to just to speak and to share my story to people, the Lord would say, I want you to take off your shoes. And I said, why, Lord? That is so odd. And people are going to think I'm a little more crazy than I already am. And so, but it was because there was a time in my life when I was not free. And I really cared about what people thought of me and what they would think of me and how they would look at me. And so I would dress up really nice, and I wear a nice dress, and I wear some really pretty heels, and I loved my high heel shoes. And I thought, you know, if I dressed really nice and wore some really nice shoes and make my makeup really pretty and look just so, that nobody would know that I was really dying on the inside and that I was hurting and that I was struggling. And so I wore a lot of masks for many years. And so because I wore those masks, and then once God set me free, he set me free indeed. And so for those of you that know me now, I am so free. It don't get freer than me. That's all I can say. So tonight, if you want to run around the building, Pastor Ronnie, if you want to stand up, shout. These are all the things my husband hates that I do. So I get to like jump up and down. He gave me the microphone, so I have permission. So I am taking liberties. He may not ever have me back, but that's okay. I have it tonight. So can we get an amen? Woo! Okay. Amen, amen. I just want to say prayer. I want to really dedicate this night to my mother. Just Monday, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 bladder cancer. And they said it's very aggressive and it's very advanced. So my mom is primed for a miracle. And I've got some miracle friends out there tonight that are praying. So I am believing tonight for my mom. I lost my dad a year ago, July 23rd. And I said, Lord, I'm not ready to lose my mom yet. So I just want to lift her up and pray for her tonight. And we're just going to believe because we know that Jehovah Rapha, his name is healer. His name is healer. And I believe in God's word. And I believe that he sent his word to heal my mom. And so as I pray this tonight, if you're in need of a healing, if there's something going on in your life and you need God to touch you in that way, I'm just going to lift her up and I'm going to pray for you as well. So just stand in agreement with me. Father, I just thank you for this night. Lord, it is divinely ordered of you. It has been ordained before the foundation of the earth. So Father God, I thank you right now for every person that's sitting in this building, Lord. Father God, they are not here by accident. There are no coincidences in you, Father. So I thank you that you brought each and every one by divine appointment. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you have already prepared the hearts of the people to receive the words that you would have them hear tonight. God, that you would give them ears to hear, hearts to receive, Father God, everything that you have for them right now in this place. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that there would be, that I would decrease, Father, that you would increase. Lord, that they would not see me standing up here, but Father God, that they would see you. That is my greatest desire, Father, that you would be glorified. Father God, that it would be my story for your glory, God. So Lord, I thank you for this moment. Lord, I do not take it lightly. Lord, I stand in bare feet on your holy ground because it's holy, because you are holy. I thank you for Holy Spirit, Father God, that as I speak, it would be as though you are speaking through me directly from the throne room. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And we thank you tonight for healing my mom. We thank you right now. We just thank you, Lord. We don't have to ask you. We don't have to beg you. God, it is your goodwill. Father God, it is your good pleasure to do your will. So, Father God, heal my mom and each person under the sound of my voice tonight that needs a healing from you, Father, whether it be physical or emotional or whatever that might be, Father. We thank you for that right now. For it's in Jesus' name, and they all said, amen, amen. Well, you know, I had really struggled. I kind of went round and round. I had played this night out in my head like 500 times. But at the end of the day, I was like, Lord, whatever you want to do tonight, I am so open. I'm just your vessel of honor in the hand of the potter. And that was a word that God had given me back April 8, 1986. On Easter Sunday, 2014, actually the weeks leading up to that time, the Lord had really been stirring in my heart and in my spirit and the words I kept hearing in my spirit, not an audible voice. I haven't heard the booming loud voice of the Lord, so I have to be very careful I haven't. Now, some people have, and I'm like, I really do want to hear that, but God speaks to me in dreams and visions. I'm a very visual person. That's how I learn. So I really just felt the Lord, you know, in my spirit. And I was seeing, like, go out and bring them in. And so I said, Lord, okay, so what are you saying? So I called my friend Katie and John and April, and we just begin to pray. We begin to seek the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what would you have us do? Because for years I have been out in the community, and I would go out to 11th Street Community Kitchen, wherever the Lord would lead me, and I would minister. I would pray for people. I would take food, you know, whatever God would call me to do. But what was really troubling me and stirring my spirit was I wasn't really seeing the fruit of my labors. Now, that's not why we do it, but I wasn't seeing lives transformed, people's lives being changed, even though I was going out and doing that. So what I really felt the Lord was speaking was to go out and bring them in, that they would begin to hear the word. Because our minds are renewed as we hear the word of the Lord. So we needed to start bringing them in. So Easter Sunday 2014 was a crazy day. So I had told my husband, and anybody that knows my husband, he is kind of the voice of reality sometimes for me. Or I also call him the bucket of cold water on my head. Like, if I get really far out there, like, he's going, come on, honey, reel it back in. No. But this time I knew that God had said, go out and bring them in. And when he said this to do this, it was Easter Sunday 2014. So, as you all know, that is the Super Bowl. That is the Super Bowl for all Christians, is Easter Sunday, which is okay, except I had 5 kids at my house that morning to get ready to go to church. So needless to say, my husband was saying things I will not repeat here, but he was not happy that I was, I had 5 kids to get ready and get in the car, and we got in our cars and we went out. And we had, like, I think 3 or 4 cars that morning, but it was awesome. It was crazy. It was insane. It was messy. But the Lord said, go. I had no clue what I was doing. I still, to this day, really do not know what I'm doing. But God knows. Like, I am so led by the Holy Spirit. Trust me. So we went out, and we really reopened our car doors, and we said, whosoever will, come. Let's go. Let's go to Abba's house. Let's go to church. And so we literally loaded up our cars, kids and all, and we came to church. That was 2014. So along the way, it has been a journey. And people ask me all the time, well, why do you call it Exodus? Well, I'd like to say it is very, very spiritual, and I got a spiritual awakening. But the truth was, I had called it some really long, crazy, professional name that I could never remember. Like, I literally could not remember this name. It was nuts. And so I was at work. Now, my friends are here from the Housing Authority today, and I'm so grateful for the Chattanooga Housing Authority, because that was a platform and has been a platform for my ministry for 14 years. And everything I do partners with the Housing Authority, because that is the housing that we get. But we literally just, we went out and we started bringing people in, and it started to grow. Like, it started to grow, and I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, the baby's getting bigger. It's like, and along the way, I was getting a little nervous, because we needed people and volunteers to come in and to help us. So my husband bought one of the vans, and then we filled it up, and we filled up our cars, and then the church gave us a van, so we filled up 2 vans, and we filled up our cars, and we just started going. But every time along the way, like, I would get really nervous and go, God, I can't do this. Like, I cannot do this. It's too hard. And I would be weeping. Like, I would be sobbing, going, God, I cannot do this. And then I would go, and I'd say to Katie, could somebody please take the baby? I'm like, the baby's getting bigger. The baby's kind of messy. Like, take the baby. Don't you want the baby? Nobody wanted the baby. I'm like, somebody take the baby. So, but honestly, and then I remember Katie one day saying, because I was like, nobody takes the baby. So I'm having a meeting about, I believe I'm supposed to pass the baton. And Katie gave me a word. I don't know if you remember this, but she gave me a reality check, really, and said, Teresa, God did not allow you to birth this ministry all these years for you to give it away. And it hit me hard. And I had to repent. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, you have entrusted me with this ministry and the lives of these people. Because they don't belong to me. They belong to you. They're your children. You've just entrusted me to care for them. And now I'm trying to give it away because it's too hard. But every time the Lord, every time I said it was too hard and I would be crying out to God, he would send me somebody. He would send me somebody. He would send me a Ken Douglas who has been so faithful week after week after week to get on the bus and to minister to the people we're bringing. And then it was still hard, and God would send me a Nancy and an RC, and it was like, who without, I could not do what I do, which is to minister, so that feeding them every week. And Debbie, who is faithfully serving in the clothes closet every week, and Hiroshi, who every Sunday is there to clean up, because, you know, nobody really wants to clean up, right? We know that from the gobbler. Hey, so it's like, but everybody's the director. I love that. So, you know, we just begin with a simple act of obedience. And that's what the Lord always looks. He's looking for obedience. And that was really what it was. It was like nothing. I never woke up and said, oh, Lord, today I'm starting a homeless ministry. Glory to God. Never, not once did I ever say that. I didn't. It was truly something that God has birthed in me over the years. And where that came from, and I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony that's kind of led me into where I am today. Because, you know, you don't just wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm going to be a pastor, or I'm going to be a, you know, I'm going to go and be a missionary. It just doesn't typically work like that. God has to work something in you and out of you to get you to that place. And it's usually a lot of hard stuff that God does. And I know that's something that he did in me. But I will tell you, back in 1986, it was April 8th. And it was the promise that God had given me. I was very pregnant. I already had one child. I had a little boy, my son Lee, who's amazing. He's my joy. He's my gift. He's my evangelist. He's my evangelist. He ministers everywhere he goes, so I'm so grateful. But I was in a church service, unwed, pregnant mom with a two-year-old little boy. And I remember sitting in the service. It was a Life and Growth in the Spirit service. It was a Tuesday morning. And I was crying, as I was often as a single unwed mother with a two-year-old. You cry a lot because it's hard. It's hard being a single mom. I was a single mother for many years, so I know the struggle is real. But I was at this service, and there was a minister there, and he was an evangelist, and he was larger than life. And I remember he was very tall, and he had solid white hair. And his name was Moses Vay. And during the service, there was probably about 200 people in the service. And I remember he was ministering, and the ministry was in regards to people who felt led, that God was calling them into ministry. Like you knew that you were called to ministry. And actually, God had called me to ministry. I had never shared that with anybody, because I was ashamed. I was embarrassed that people would say, how could God call you? Look at you. You're a mess. And but I remember, and I was sitting in the back of the service, and at the end, the very end of the service, he had the called altar call, and he said, if you feel that God has called you to ministry, I want you to come up to the altar. So everybody would have come up like to right here. And I remember I was sitting in my seat, and my heart was like pounding, like literally out of my chest. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me and just saying, Teresa, I've called you. I want you to go. And I was stuck to my seat. It was like I was literally hanging on, going, I can't go, God. What are people going to think about me? What are they going to say? How could God ever use me? And so the Lord won, as he always does. But I waited till everybody got up there. So nobody really would, like most of the people were up there, so not many people would see me kind of sneak up. So I literally kind of sneaking up to the back, and I kind of held my head down. I didn't really want anybody to look at me, and because I was pregnant. So, and everybody knew my situation. And I remember he began to pray over people, and he came around, and he started laying hands on all the people. And he came over, and he laid hands on me, and he kept going, and he got to the end. And I remember I watched him. He was very, very tall man. I watched him come back. And he's coming to the middle, and he gets to here. And he starts walking, and the sea of people start to part. It was like Moses in the Red Sea. His name is Moses Vey. Okay, Exodus, Moses. Listen, I didn't put all this together till this year, so I'm a little slow. So literally, like, the man is coming at me. I'm all the way in the back. I'm about to pass out. I am shaking, and my heart's about to beat in my chest, but I knew it was God. And so he gets to me, and he comes, and he lays his hand on my head, and he just kind of puts his arm around me. And at this point, I am sobbing, hysterically sobbing. And this is the prophecy. And if you guys could put that up there. And he says this. And now, mind you, I put tape on this today. I have reprinted this thing so many times over the last 32 years or so. That is literally a mess. But it has been my lifeline. It is what I've held on to all these years because God gave me a promise and a prophetic word. And what it says is, my child, as I lay my hands on you, I saw your dreams shattered into millions of pieces, shattered like glass. But I saw the pieces put back together with warmth and pressure in all the right places. God is putting the pieces together, and they are going to stick. It's not going to look like you thought it would. I am going to put you on my mantle as a showpiece. I saw you as a nurse binding up wounds. There is mercy in these hands. Scales and scabs will fall off of people even as you speak, and you won't be afraid to touch them. There will be mercy in these hands, and you will be a vessel of honor in the hand of the potter. That day changed my life forever. It was this word that I have literally stood on physically under my feet. That is why it's tattered and torn. I have held it up to God when I wanted to die. I was so addicted to drugs and alcohol until I was 40 years old. I struggled with addiction to relationships, with fear and shame and guilt and regret my entire life. Because I grew up in a very, very dysfunctional and abusive home. I grew up with a stepdad most of my life. My mom and dad divorced when I was 10, so I did not know my father. I didn't know him until 2014 when the Lord spoke to me and said, go get him. So through this journey, this has been an exodus for me. Through this journey, it's like God began to bring healing into my life. You know, I so longed for a dad as a little girl that I never had. you know, one that would say, I love you, little girl, or sit me on his knee and said, I'm there for you. But I never got the birthday card that I hoped for or a phone call. I just didn't. And so growing up without that, I didn't know at the time that there was such a void in my life. Because girls need their dads. And we need our moms. But I just know that to be a daddy's girl. So all I knew when I came to know the Father was I was daddy's little girl. Nobody had to convince me. It's like I just knew the radical love of the Father transformed my life, even though I didn't know my dad. For years, I didn't know him. In 2014, my dad was sick in the hospital, and his stepmother, his wife, was also in the hospital the exact same day. Thank you. I should have brought the whole box up here. I could take stock in Kleenex. But literally, the Lord said to me, go get him. And this was the time that I really argued with God. And I said, Lord, I don't know this man. I've never had a real relationship with him. I've been estranged all these years. And I said, what has he ever done for me? And the Lord said, go get him. And of course, God won again. And I drove to Atlanta and I spent a week in the hospital with my dad and his wife. And I would go from one floor to the other. And I just was there. I really didn't know what to say. Didn't really know what conversation to have. But I just know that God was doing something. And so I brought him back here. And for the last 3 years before my dad passed, God reconciled me back to my dad. I got to know my father. And I tell you what, that was nothing but a God thing, but it came out of a place of forgiveness. I had to forgive my dad. I had to let go of the anger and the hurt and the bitterness and all of the things that I had held on to all these years because I was hurting. And I was broken. And Pastor Ronnie, I'm going to wrap this up because I see it's getting late. And I have so much more to share with you. But what I really wanted to say tonight is God's promises are yes and amen. They are yes and amen. God gave me a promise in 1986 that I have held on to. But I'll be honest with you. It requires something of us. Even though God gives us a promise, it's like, had I not ever gone out to the community kitchen, or had I not ever forgiven my dad, or had I not ever said, Lord, whatever it takes, God. I don't know if I'd be standing here tonight. I don't know if I had not forgiven my dad. I don't know. Even in all of the times that I cried out to God until I was 40, and I said, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. I cried out to God because I truly wanted him to set me free. I literally drank, towards the end, a fifth of vodka every day. Every day. I would get up and I would drink and I would go to bed and I would drink because I was dying. And mind you, I was a very good church girl. During this time, I was going to church and I was painting my face and I was wearing those masks. But I was dying and I was sitting in the seat, suffering in silence because I didn't want anybody to know that I was hurting and everything that I had done. And I thought, if they knew what I had done, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't even like me. But I got to a place and I said, God, if you never deliver me like I want you to deliver me, because I wanted to say, you're healed. Go, be healed. I wanted that because he can do it. He has done it. He is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he didn't do it that way for me. He allowed me to walk through this so I could go out and bring people in. He called me to go out and bring them in so they could hear the word and they could be blessed and their minds could be transformed. And so they could have the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. People said, Teresa, Exodus is a terrible name. They never made it to the promised land. I said, but we are now. We can walk it out because of Jesus. Jesus died that we would have a life abundant, more abundant, here and now. And so now we go out and we bring them in and we grab them by the arm and we say, come on, let's go. It's okay. I can go with you. I've been there. I've been addicted to drugs. I've had three abortions. I've had three rehabs, three abortions, and I'm on my third marriage. But God, He has healed me. He has delivered me. And He has set me free. And I am forgiven. And I am His daughter. And I am a child of the Most High God. And it doesn't matter what you've been through or where you've gone or who you've done it with. But I'm telling you right now, our God is a God who will forgive you. And I'm telling you, He's just calling us to a place of repentance. If we just cry out and say, God, forgive me. I love you. I promise you, He will meet you right where you are. That's what Exodus is. He wants to meet you right where you are, no matter where that is. So I am grateful tonight to be standing here to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for your promise, God. It is yes and amen. It is yes and amen. He is faithful. He is faithful. He will never fail you. We fail, but He will never fail. God is good all the time. No matter what your circumstances, He will turn it around for your good and His glory. He wants to be glorified through your life. And so, Pastor Ronnie and I just feel led that there are people sitting in this room tonight that I know God has called to ministry. And you may be like me and think, God, how could you ever use me? But I promise you, if God can use this little Mobile, Alabama Waffle House waitress, because that's where my ministry began, was at the Waffle House. I was Mother Teresa, and they've shortened it now to Mama T. Mama T, but I tell you, your ministry is where God has planted you. I've been planted at the Housing Authority for 14 years and been so blessed and honored to have that as my platform that partners with my ministry, because we want to see people delivered, healed, set free, and housed. We want them up and off the streets and living in the abundant life. And God, and we have seen that so many times. So many times. God continues to be faithful. So I thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. God, Lord, I just ask right now if there's anybody here, most importantly, that doesn't know you intimately as a daddy, as the daddy who sits me on your knee. Oh, I can cry out, Abba, Father, because this is the Father's house. All are welcome at Daddy's house. He is my papa. If you don't know Him tonight, I just ask that you would just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Father, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me and come into my heart and save me, Lord. Cleanse me, fill me, and use me for your glory. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Father. And if there's anybody here tonight that knows that you know that you know in your knower, like I like to say, in my knower I know. The Holy Spirit's called you to ministry, but you haven't stepped out of fear. would just ask that you would step out tonight. Pastor Ronnie, I don't know if you want to come on up, and if we want, I'm going to go down front. I just feel led to pray for people tonight. And I just want to lay my hands on you and just speak a blessing over you tonight. And the Lord gives me a word. And Adam, yes, you are truly called. And I just want to say, your new journey, today's 8/8/18. You're going on new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. And God is going to give you the desires of your heart. He knows what those are. And I've got a little glimpse. So I'm so excited for you. It's so awesome. So I'm going to come on down and just pray for you. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Ronnie.
Here's what I want to do too. I want to do this. If you are not involved in an area of service in this community or in this church, I want you to come at the end of the ministry time, and I want you to do a test drive with Exodus, and I want you to try to teach Sunday, because there's more revelation than I know you had. But what God's put his hand on tonight was the fact that no matter where you've been or what you've gone through, when he's called you, you are called. And it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter the mistakes. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. When God's put his hand on you and his anointing on you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And when you are called, you are called. And I felt in my spirit, and Brother Timmons came into agreement. He didn't know what I told you before the service, but I told Mama T before the service, I said, I really believe you're supposed to speak into destinies tonight. You're supposed to speak into the lives of people who have a destiny, who God is calling in to ministry in some way. So I'm just going to have Dana play as Mama T makes her way down. We're not going to grind all night. If God's called you and you've been dealing with guilt or condemnation, I want you to go ahead and come like these brave folks have. And she's going to pray for you. She's got an anointing to pray for you. If God's called you to something more than yourself, you come as she's ministering tonight. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands towards those that are here or that are going to be making their way down here tonight. Remember, if you're staying, you're praying. That's my rule. So we're all going to come into agreement for the freedom to fall on the people represented here in this altar tonight. And I just know that your best days are in front of you, and I know most of you down here, and God's called you. I already knew he called you, and you've known he's called you for a long time. You just got to take steps towards the dream now. And I promise you this, when you take one step, God will take another step. And then when you start moving, God will keep moving. And when you hit a hindrance, God will knock that hindrance out of your way, and he'll carry you from glory to glory. But you've got to trust God, and you've got to believe God. See, I don't know anybody, and this is not about Teresa, and she wouldn't want it to be about her. It's about the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of her. That's what this is about. So when I say Teresa, don't start thinking flesh. But I don't know anybody that has the compassion that she has. She has more than I have, and I'm pretty compassionate. You understand what I'm saying? She has that because of what she's been through and the tears she's cried and the pain that she's felt. And some of you feel like that the pain that you felt and the things that you've been through, you feel like that's a detriment to your future and your destiny. It's not. It designed you and created you for more. Everything you've been through, even the unfair circumstances, God knew all along what you were supposed to do. And it didn't kill you. It made you stronger. Amen? And you're still standing. And God's going to use you. Let us worship just a little bit. Lift your hands up into the Lord tonight. We're going to worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for using the least of these. Lord, thank you for using depressed teenagers, Waffle House waitresses, and products of divorce and dysfunction, former addicts and former alcoholics and former people raised that were raised in religion, raised to judge people and stick their nose up at people. And Lord, thank you that you use all of us. No, regardless of our background, our skin color, our bank account, you use all of us. You have a plan for all of us. You have preordained a path for all of us. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that the enemy is a liar, he's a failure, he's a thief. And that despite his best efforts, there's some folks here tonight that are going to go into their destiny serving you in a deeper way. Hallelujah. So we were challenged today as a staff because we heard a testimony of a church where for a year or two, no one got a paycheck. A church that couldn't afford a building like this and so painted the walls themselves. Church that's done so much with so little. And I can't speak for every staff person that was in that meeting with me, but all I can do is speak for me and say that I left convicted and challenged. Because God's given us so much, Abba's House. Look at this huge building we built for lost sinners and hurting people. Look at this campus and this facility and this parking lot and this city. God's positioned us and given us all kinds of blessings and resources to reach people. And the only thing that's stopping us is us. And I repent for not walking in the passion that I started this journey with. And we've got to get back to loving people where they are. And bringing people in this house that may look different, that may vote different, that may act different, that may sin differently than we do. We've got to get back to reaching people and loving people. And it starts with loving ourselves. The Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Some of us don't love ourselves. And I believe that's what's being broken over this house tonight, is that guilt and that condemnation. I believe God's breaking that off some people tonight. I believe God's breaking that off of you. Heavenly Father, break that condemnation and guilt and that shame off people tonight. Whether they're watching or listening or in the house tonight, break that off of them, Lord. Break it off of them by the blood. Break it off of them. Father God, fill people afresh and anew with your power and your spirit. Lord, re-energize this body. I know they're tired and they're weak and they're weary in the middle of the week. The enemy's tried to remind them of who they once were. But Lord, we remind him of what happened to him at Calvary. And we're fighting from a victory, not for a victory. We celebrate that tonight in the name of Jesus. So as we go into worship and ministry, let's just worship God, but let's recommit ourselves to the things of God and to the call of God. We're all called. Everybody say, I'm called. We're all called. And let's recommit our lives to the vision that God's placed over us. Just worship Him in the Spirit while we do ministry. Stretch your hands towards these folks. Lord, thank you for liberating your people tonight, for giving them the freedom that they need to be who you've called them to be and walk where you've called them to walk and do what you've called them to do. Lord, this is not going to be just another altar call. This is not going to be just another service for them. Lord, there's a supernatural shift taking place right now in the spirit realm. And this is going to be like the night Teresa had 32 years ago when an evangelist named Moses prophesied into her life. Father God, I pray that this night would be like that night. And what's released into their spirit would withstand all the attempts of the enemy to knock them off course. Lord, I pray that the word that's released into their spirit will remain, will give them strength, will give them the ability to fight when they don't feel like fighting. Father God, do it. Seal it to perfection. In Jesus' name. Let's worship him. Let's celebrate him.